Guard, episode 84. We're back.
We're back.
What do you think about that theme song? Now that you've heard it 84 times, Kyler? Are you ready to change it?
No.
Or do you keep it forever?
I think it's fine.
I mean, when we're on episode 963, is it still going to be rocking the same? I think so, right? You don't change it.
When I first made it, I was thinking, oh, this is kind of surfy and kind of fun.
Yeah, it's surfy, but it's got a little bit of Sterling Archer kind of quasi-spy.
The more I listen to it, that's the vibe I get.
It's got a little international man of mystery, which I love.
It does.
So. All right, I feel like I haven't done one of these in forever. When I'm not in here, do you guys say, all right, everybody, we're back? Or is that my...
I did.
Is that my... Really?
And I said, I think that's how Don starts.
Dude, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay, I love that. I love that. All right, episode 84. All right, what are we talking about today? Obviously, everybody, it's me and Kyler is back in lieu of Rob. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking old ads, commercials that we like.
Vintage ads.
Yeah. Now, mine aren't necessarily vintage.
Okay. Okay, well,
but
I am
circulation.
I am older than you.
Right.
So we'll have two sets of what we determine as vintage.
One or two on my list.
All right. Well, I'll be curious to get your take on what this means. I have a weird spin on this one. I have an affinity for, dare I say, the irony of old advertising.
Okay.
Right. Versus a specific brand or a specific object or product, right? As advertising, as we do, and as a student of advertising, and just sort of a love of sort of Americana and sort of capturing sort of the voice of a generation, sort of advertising does that to a certain extent, right? I think it's funny to look back on old ads as to why they not necessarily were successful or not, but just sort of as a snapshot in time.
Right.
Right.
Why they've become synonymous with a certain era.
Exactly. So why don't you kick us off? Kick us off with something that you found interesting or an old ad that or a commercial or whatever that you love.
The one that growing up was like the one that always stuck out, everyone would quote it.
Okay.
Was the Budweiser Frogs.
Okay.
And part of what I love about that, and there are other ones on my list that are like that, is that it felt like it had little to nothing to do with beer.
No, frogs have nothing to do with beer.
And it was one of those ads where the idea was, if we can just get you to remember our commercial.
Yeah.
And somehow in your brain link that to what the product is, that's the only goal.
Now, you're talking about the three frogs that were sitting on lily pads in the dark, and it's Bud.
Yeah.
You know?
Those?
Like, yeah, okay. Yep. Got it.
And then the what's up ones.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, yeah, that whole
that whole campaign with Budweiser in the call it late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm not going to call that vintage, but that was a sweet spot for Super Bowl advertising and for just fun, ridiculous brand ads.
It's got to be 25 years old now.
Yeah, the what's up guys and all.
I'm going to call that vintage.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm okay with that. I mean, all my favorite music I listened to is vintage then.
Right.
You know.
Right,
so. Yeah. Yeah, those classic, the What's Up guys and the frogs, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic
classic commercials.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then just keeping with the beer theme, the old Miller Lite Bob Uecker commercials. Remember those?
I don't remember what I do remember. He did Miller.
Yeah, it was Miller Lite. He would be like getting kicked out of the bar.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
But is that the ones where they were arguing about tastes great versus less filling?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to remember the name of that campaign.
I don't remember the name of that
campaign.
We'll
have to cut this part out.
Yeah. Well, or not. Somebody set the story straight, you know?
Right, yeah.
I remember, it was fun. Once beer made that interesting turn on, hey, we're not, like, we're bad for you, but we're not as bad as the other beers, right? In terms of, like, we're counting calories and that type of stuff. And all of a sudden, it's okay for, big burly men to drink light beer, That Miller Lite campaign of people arguing, tastes great, less, versus less filling.
Right.
I thought was an interesting approach, right? Yeah. To sort of that argument in the bar and people sort of crashing into things and getting pissed off. But, it was an interesting hey, they can both coexist, but here they are arguing, right? It was an interesting strategy.
Must have been successful because
it ran forever.
Well, granted, there are a lot of guys now who are very into their craft beers.
Yeah, yeah.
But light beer is probably there's more consumed than craft beers, even though craft beers have had huge popularity.
Probably. But all craft beers feel like they're IPAs. I don't know why. It's
a lot of them. There's
too many IPAs.
It is too filling.
Yeah. Well, I remember when the Michelob Ultra campaign first launched to like, oh, we're playing one-on-one basketball or whatever. And then I reach into my bag and grab an ice cold Mick Ultra.
Right.
Because it's only, 90 calories and not a lot of carbs.
Yeah, it's like a group of people. They just got done with their run and cheers.
Yeah, it was, I remember watching that going, what in the world is happening?
They even had one that was even either lower carb or lower calorie than Mick Ultra.
Really?
That they were trying to, it was just terrible.
Yeah, so. but dude, that thing is still going.
Yeah, that's, like, that's, I mean, Mick
years
Ultra's
and
approach.
Years and years later, it's still going. It's like,
I think it's interesting that that's their approach, even though they're like 2 or 3 calories fewer.
Yeah.
Or one gram of carbs fewer than a Coors Light or something.
It's not like, this is half of everybody else. It's not like, the Apple battery lasts 50% longer
not
than last year.
Significantly
year's.
Different.
No, it's, a tenth of a fraction point is what it feels
like.
Well,
that's the position they've tried to corner.
But, and now it's like it's ingrained into our brains and we're kind of used to it, and there's so many different sort of workout scenarios and people are far more conscious of everything and food, nutritional label. But I feel like when they started, it wasn't like nobody knew what keto was.
It was before a lot of the diet trends and the social media fitness trends.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very interesting.
But I'd be interested to know if their sales have gone up, maintaining that kind of advertising position with today's kind of, fitness culture.
There's an argument to make that they wouldn't keep doing it if it wasn't working.
That's true. That is true.
So I always wonder that when I'm like, that's terrible. But why does it keep going on and on and on? It's like it has to be serving somebody somewhere. Yeah. So
Corona is one of those examples of like...
Find your beach?
Yeah. It's like the beer you get when you go to the beach.
Yeah.
I know you hate Corona.
I can't stand Corona. Yeah.
No, I'm a fan of Corona.
You love Corona. I do. And I'm not opposed to lime and beers. I'll put an orange what do you put the orange in?
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. Yeah. I mean, I'll throw some citrus. I'm not afraid to spice up some drinks with some citrus. Right?
I mean,
but Corona just, to me, it's Corona and Heineken are the two.
Yeah, they have a similar taste.
That taste terrible to me.
I'm a fan.
Heineken Light, speaking of light beers, to me, 1,000% better than Heineken.
Yeah.
Again, but hey, this is why we have
like both. So.
Dude, we got all colors of the rainbow here. Like, more Heineken for you. It's all good,
Yeah.
But anyway, Corona, find your beach,
Yeah, I think that's kind of, they've become a beer that's synonymous with you're on vacation.
Yeah.
But they also kind of angled the ads to be, you can find your beach anywhere. You don't have to be on vacation to drink the Corona.
Yeah, that's the strategy. It's like Corona transports you to a relaxational place. Right. And
I mean, it was such a... I mean, I still say I'm finding my beach when someone sees me drinking a Corona.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Well, to that point, though, and the holidays are interesting in this respect. Not that we're talking about the holidays, right? But if we talk about vintage ads, like, you'll still see the old Corona TV spot where it's on the beach... And it is dusk or sunset or whatever, and you've got all the palm trees, and then the one palm tree lights up with all the holiday lights.
It's like you're in Hawaii, right?
Yeah. Now, dude, that ad's been running for 20 years.
I love that ad.
And not dissimilar to, I think Rob and I mentioned it on another podcast, the Hershey Kisses.
Oh, the bells.
I mean,
it's a fantastic ad.
Dude, that's been running since the 80s. Yeah. I mean, they still, and you watch it and it's not HD and it's been rezzed up and it's still,
it's like not even at the right aspect ratio.
No.
Yeah.
No. That
M&M's every now and again will run one of the old ones when it was just the red and the yellow peanut.
Yeah.
And it's just a straight Christmas ad.
Yeah. But, those are classic ads that are still on the strategy that the brand is still utilizing to this day.
Yeah.
And still has resonance and purpose, even though it may be 30 or 40 years old.
The Hershey
incredible.
Kiss one I see every year.
Yeah.
It's a great ad.
Yeah.
It's a perfect ad.
The one that I wouldn't say is a perfect ad, but they still keep running it, is the Cadbury Cream Egg Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They do
tryouts. It's the lion wearing the bunny ear. Yeah. It's all the, and it's like, guys. What are you like?
I like that commercial. I like that commercial.
Well, I mean, those things
the
are.
Bad, like dubbed.
Yeah.
Sounds from the lion or
oh
whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah. But they still, they wouldn't run it if it didn't work or if it didn't have a purpose
That's the only Cadbury egg commercial I can think of.
That probably is the only one they've ever filmed.
They only made one.
Let's put it this way. They definitely got their money's worth.
Like only sell, I mean, I know you like Cadbury eggs, but
I love
who's
the Cadbury
them year round.
I don't like the cream eggs. Now, when I was a kid,
I loved
the cream eggs. I
think when I was a kid, I liked them.
But. It's like so much sugar. I mean, that goo that's inside.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Just
But right, Cadbury milk chocolate, just the brand, the brand of Cadbury
the
milk chocolate,
eggs?
Delicious.
Yeah, those are good.
And what I like is the little Robin's eggs or whatever.
Oh, the little sugar coating.
It's got a little hard candy coating on it, but not like M&M-ish.
I'm with.
Oh my lord! You let those things melt in your mouth. Oh, delicious.
Cadbury does have good chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, send me hate mail, but I may like their chocolate better than Hershey's chocolate. I think a Cadbury milk chocolate is better than a Hershey's milk chocolate, which is a blasphemy. I know, but
that's a six of one. For
okay,
me.
It's no difference.
I grew up with my European grandparents. We had nothing but Belgian chocolate.
Yeah, so well, there you go. That's
a
good
whole different league.
I do not buy into the Toblerone though. I'm like, that is not. I just don't know. Nothing special about that.
It's difficult to eat.
They got in some trouble too. They had to take off the. It's not no longer made in Switzerland.
Oh,
so they had to take off some type of product of Switzerland. They had a packaging snafu or something. Yeah. Somebody called them out on that. So
I just don't like the shape.
The triangular.
It's a distinctive shape, but like, how do you? I don't know how to go at it.
Here's what it is. It's airport chocolate.
It's the airport
chocolate bar. That's all it is. How you eat it, I feel like
you shove
the triangle thing in your mouth and then snap it off. It's a little shove and snap.
See, I'd break one off.
You break
but
one
then,
off?
Like, what angle do I... It just seems like a difficult chocolate to eat unnecessarily.
I don't have a problem putting the chocolate in the mouth hole.
Now, maybe they're saying it's a visualization of the Alps.
The triangles?
Since they have the Matterhorn on there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, packaging, they're trying to be unique, you know?
It is a distinctive chocolate.
Yeah.
I can't say I've eaten one more than twice.
Yeah, it's not a go-to. It's not readily accessible. It's in an airport.
If I'm
it's a duty-free chocolate.
Cadbury and Hershey's, I'm probably going Hershey's.
Really?
But unlike Rob, I want the almonds in there.
Do you?
Okay. I love chocolate and almonds.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Anyway, we've totally derailed this, which is fantastic. But vintage ads. What else you got? You want me to jump in here?
You jump in because then I'll go to my older ads. But
okay. All right. So my take on sort of the topic of vintage advertising or sort of classic advertising, as I mentioned at the top of this, is I love leaning into the irony of things, right? So I always use the fun example of, and I've used this on many client calls and just jokes and stuff in the past, is the old 5 out of 5 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, so I love the snapshots of, so I believe it was, I did a little bit of show prep for this one in the 40s. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It was, Camel was doing a tremendous amount of print advertising, right? In the 40s and a couple of headlines for you, right? This is the headline of an ad for Camel cigarettes.
Right.
Okay. The photo is a doctor.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And the headline is, not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camel cigarettes. That's the headline. Again, just for the record.
Why? Because they're filtered? Was Camel one of the early ones that filtered the cigarettes? I can't remember.
I don't know either. And to be honest, it honestly doesn't really matter. But not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camel cigarettes. I love that, right? They also ran some TV spots, in the late 40s and whatever. Early 50s, but it was more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarettes, right?
Boy, so, that is a stamp of approval.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I love about sort of that classic advertising in terms of where we are as a society
today.
And what, and the corporations are for profits. I mean, they're not necessarily for the benefit of society, right?
No, rarely.
But so I find that kind of advertising hilarious. You know, along those lines, the old gigantic Hoover vacuum cleaners, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
The most misogynistic advertising ever. You know, get her the Hoover she deserves, you know? And it's like, oh, here's the housewife with the apron on and the patterned dress and is like a pig in shit, like with a vacuum. You know what I mean? It's so ridiculous. Right, we look at it now and we go, what in the, I love that, like, you could never do that again, or is that really what the sentiment was? Like, because again, I wasn't around in the 40s.
I guarantee you, the guys everywhere ran out, got their wives the Hoover vacuum.
Yeah.
And
again, we'll chalk it up to, it wouldn't exist if it didn't work in some form or fashion,
exactly.
Right? You know?
Hoover did kind of become the staple,
we had a
American
giant
vacuum, such that, who was it?
Fantastic name for a vacuum, too.
Yeah.
And loud as can be, and heavy, this big, heavy cast iron front end vacuum. I mean, horrible, you know? So, you know, I mean, I love that kind of funny, like really, that's what Americana advertising?
Do you remember the art piece that Jeff Koons did, early Jeff Koons, where it was just three Hoover vacuums in like a glass?
No.
You don't remember that?
No.
That was kind of his argument behind it. It was just like this a snapshot of American culture.
You know? Yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah, I think that kind of stuff is bizarre. So the rest of my list basically is... And again, I like to lean into the irony, not necessarily. I mean, this podcast, there's been a million podcasts about, you know, the Volkswagen advertising and the lemon, all the different mm-hmm. sort of classic, you know, 60s ads and what made advertising great and things like that, right? But I think it's funny. Kodak, right? A brand not a lot of people know about, but you know, obviously now, but Kodak, the preeminent, really the only supplier of cameras, film, you know, tradition, you know, bring, you know, the democratization of taking pictures, right? Instead of, you know, to the masses, right? I always found it funny that in the 50s, all the Kodak ads are all illustrated. They're not actually photographs.
Right.
Right. So it's, hey, we're advertising cameras. We're advertising how fun it is to take pictures. We're advertising, you know, but none of the ads are actually using any of the technology provided by the product you're selling.
That's interesting. I can't say I can think of a Kodak ad.
In the 60s, it transitioned. The 60s is when it transitioned to, okay, it's a photograph. Like most advertising, well, not most, because actually car advertising, which is the next thing on my list, most of the car advertising in the 60s was all illustrated because, you know, either the technology of printing the magazines or whatever wasn't up to snuff, right? Or they couldn't line screen or halftone or whatever the photos, right? But Kodak, all through the 50s, all of their ads were illustrated, painted, illustrated ads, right? And most of the car ads were all illustrated too, 50s, even into the 60s. It wasn't really till late 60s that you start seeing photographs of things. And it has to do with the technology or however plates were made or things like that, right?
Or just cost. I mean,
maybe it was cost, yeah.
One of the few companies that still has kept the like same vintage commercials basically is Red Bull.
Yeah.
They just have continued that, illustrative style and
that Dr. Katz wiggly.
The look of it. Yeah. You know, it has a very kind of wiggly hand done. And I doubt that that's how it's being done, but they've kept the look of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. I can't say I've ever seen, I mean, they do other forms of advertising, right? I mean, they put their stuff everywhere. They have the,
they sponsor the Red Bull everything under
cars
the sun.
That will stop by. I think they've come by this office before.
They have.
We've had
the Red Bull team.
Yeah. The Red Bull girls or whatever.
Come in and give us Red Bull.
They had the guy,
whatever.
Skydive from like the top of the atmosphere or something. Remember that?
Yeah.
So they do all kinds of advertising, but when it just comes to TV spots,
they don't it's always the same.
Yeah.
It's a white screen with that black line wiggled illustration and some brushed spot color in there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's always, you know, Red Bull gives you wings.
Red Bull gives you wings.
I mean, they've had that tagline forever, which is great. So yeah, super fun stuff. So anyway, I mean, I love leaning into the weird irony of just looking at advertising almost as a timepiece, you know, and then looking back at it, you know, as most of us can, even jokingly, if we look at pictures of ourselves in high school or whatever, like, oh my God, why did we even wear that? You know, so that sort of funny, like, you know, not self-reflective, but just microcosm of like, what? Is that what things were like?
It is interesting.
You know? It's fun to think about that way.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was younger, or I guess not all that long ago, like being in my parents' house and we would watch some kind of like Christmas thing that we taped on VHS.
Okay.
And what I loved about watching that stuff was seeing the commercials that were running back then
God.
The toys I really wanted the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with like goo and slime, which apparently has come back into style. My nieces,
goo and slime?
Yeah, they like always want to make this like slime.
My kids make slime all the time.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a sensory, squishing, gooey sort of.
It was very popular when I was a kid.
Borax and dish soap and whatever else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's like Dawn.
It's a whole mess of things.
But it was fun to see all the different... you know, the Christmas ads that were running back then.
Yeah.
Or the fast food ads, you know, what they were advertising.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that's changed dramatically now, you know.
Well, McDonald's had a whole probably a decade where it really was more about the toys than it was about the food. It was just whatever the sponsorship was and whatever licensing agreement was, it was get to McDonald's and get these toys.
Speaking of which, do you remember the Jason Alexander McDonald's commercial when they were running this, like, thing where your cold ingredients would be on one side of the packaging.
Oh,
and your burger with the cheese and the bottom bun would be on the other side.
It was the big styrofoam thing, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it what killed styrofoam packaging and fast food?
Yeah,
is that
this
what it was
not a successful campaign, but the, I think it's pre-Seinfeld. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love that commercial.
I need to go back and watch that. Yeah. So. I mean, the vintage, you know, if you think about, I mean, we're obviously in Atlanta. We have the World of Coke here, which they redid. I mean, if you kind of think about it, the entire World of Coke is really just a trip through advertising history.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most of the visual, I mean, everything is just, it's all sunbloom painted Santas. I mean, you mentioned Christmas, it made me think of it, you know. So you don't even really realize it, but it is kind of a snapshot of Americana advertising and how it sort of keeps up with things. So
yeah, Coke is a great example of the transition from, you know, the early mid-1900s to now and keeping a brand relatively consistent while also somehow evolving with each era. They've managed to do everything successfully from the very first mark, shape of the bottle.
Totally.
They practically own a color at this point.
They basically do.
Yeah.
All right, what's on your list? Bring us home.
Well, I kind of have some oddballs that you're going to say aren't vintage because they're not.
I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's 1940s or not.
But I'm a big fan of irreverent commercials that, you know, loosely tie into what the product actually is. And the ones I used to love was the E-Trade commercials with the baby.
The babies, talking babies.
Absolutely love those commercials.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down for it.
I just love that it's like a, you know, first of all, it was very early CGI
animation
on the baby's mouth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it was good enough, and it kind of always looked like it was on a webcam or something.
Yeah.
I just love the voiceover narration, and it's like one of those things that I remember it being an E-Trade commercial, but very little of it was about about trading or about investing.
It
was mostly like golf jokes, you know, from a baby.
Well, it's the fish out of water approach in regards to babies obviously don't talk, but babies obviously don't talk about things that what those babies were talking about. They're talking about things that adults are talking about, right? And it's so that's what kind of makes it fish out of water and memorable, right? But there's that implied you know, so easy a caveman can do it without having to say it, right? Like Geico said it. Geico showed you cavemen and said, hey, this is so easy. Mm-hmm. This dumb idiot caveman can do it, right?
Yeah.
E-Trade never was so blatant in regards to that. Like they were top notch in that respect.
It just made it seem like, hey, this baby's smarter than you.
Yeah, exactly.
Can hit better golf shots.
And
he uses E-Trade.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly. Okay, I like that. I haven't thought about that one in a long time. That's
it's one of my favorite campaigns.
Okay, all right. I love it.
Beyond that, I just have things that aren't that old.
That's all right. Just hey, let it rip. You got a post it now. Yeah.
This is a little bit older now, but do you remember those Quiznos commercials?
With the crazy puppet thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people hated those commercials.
Unbelievably unsuccessful campaign.
They really were, but I really liked those commercials.
Yeah, they were crazy. They were the David Carson of advertising. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of when a company is like, screw it, let's just do something
totally
bizarre.
Insane. Yeah.
And sometimes it works. Old Spice is one that has done that now for decade or more.
Yeah, the humor of Old Spice is top notch.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
And it's totally just bizarro, you know, acid trip kind of comedy.
Yeah, there's a human centaur. Yeah. There's all sorts of weird. Yeah, for sure. But I think why Quiznos failed so much, though, is none of that looked or felt delicious.
Yeah, it didn't.
Food is a different thing, right? I mean, you had these very ugly, wackadoodle kind of character creature
like
things
collage together or something.
It was like, and there was no rationale as to what they were or where they, you know, it wasn't like for example, it's a terrible idea, but it wasn't like out of this world taste, out of this world sandwiches,
right?
And here are these aliens that came from whatever. There was no grounding there.
I just
made that up. It's a terrible idea, but
it was just so bizarre. They were hoping you would remember it.
Exactly.
And I think to that end, like I do remember it.
There's a place.
It didn't make me go to Quiznos.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, there's a place in the world for, you know, the humor that Old Spice has, the crazy, just, hey, the point of advertising is to get noticed, right? Is, you know, and hey, we all noticed it. But yeah, it didn't drive Quiznos sales, and they abandoned that pretty quick, you know, so.
Bringing it back to beer, maybe to end.
Okay.
The campaign that's now gone, that I grew up you know, it was like always Dos Equis' campaign was the most interesting man in the world.
Fantastic campaign.
Another one that has like very little to do with beer until the very end.
Yeah.
You're just like, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
And I don't always drink beer, but when I do,
yeah.
I drink Dos Equis.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to call that one truth in advertising.
Right.
Right. And by that, I mean like, yeah, you're not drinking beer every day, all day long.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's, hey, I don't drink beer, but when I do,
right.
You know, make sure to select the best of the best,
right.
You know, that type of thing, right?
I think so. Dos Equis knows that they're not the beer that the college kids are going to be, you know, getting cases of.
You know,
it's just not that kind of beer.
Sure.
But it was definitely a successful campaign.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think I remember them after that guy retired, they tried to bring it back with a new, younger
yes.
guy.
Yeah, and it was...
I don't think it worked.
But didn't they try to rotate out different guys? Like what they did with the Colonel and KFC, like how different actors portrayed the Colonel?
I think they tried that.
Or was it just a new person?
Okay. I remember it only, it didn't run very long, so maybe
yeah.
they did. But I remember it being a new guy and
yeah.
just thinking, now this isn't the most interesting man in the world.
I think what's interesting about that campaign, too, was it started very serious. It didn't have the irreverency at the very beginning. Like his factoids were more based in reality. You know
right.
what I mean?
Then it got more and more outlandish.
But then by the end, it was like, I can't remember any of the claims right now, but it was things
rustling
that—
rustling large animals or,
yeah,
you know.
It had nothing, like none of these things are actually real.
Right.
But
yeah.
he did all these things because
yeah.
he's such a myth of an individual.
Right,
so,
yeah.
There's an interesting story behind that actor too. You should Google him or whatever. I think it was one of those, he was like a surfer or a homeless guy or something like that. And then he went to a casting call and then ended up being cast in the campaign. There's some crazy story behind, because I remember when they decided to shut the campaign down, I remember reading about how it came
about
to
him.
Be. Yeah. An Adweek or something. It was like how the whole campaign came to pass, right? And it's one of those like Hollywood kind of stories, you know what
right.
I mean? Like kind of guy out of nowhere sort of
just
all
total
of a sudden.
Stroke of luck.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it definitely worked. I mean, he
mm-hmm.
seemed like, and
yeah.
I think it also worked that he wasn't a known
yeah.
actor, right?
For sure.
So you,
for sure.
The only thing you think of him as is
yeah.
the Dos Equis
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. Worked really well on radio as well.
It did. It
yeah.
did. Because
really
you could
well
just say a
yeah.
handful of things that seem impossible
yeah. Yeah.
or crazy.
Well,
know?
And it had that theme song. Like I would say of all of the, sort of Mexican beers now,
mm-hmm.
If that's a category. I don't even know if that's really a category, but yeah, Modelo probably, because Modelo has that very signature music.
Yeah,
that goes
what is
with
that
everything.
Score? That song.
I can't.
It's
remember.
A classical.
It's
piece.
It's a classical piece. Yeah,
yeah.
But it sticks with you.
Yeah, they don't go for humor at all.
No,
they took a totally different direction than a lot of the other Mexican beer ads.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it works.
Yeah,
I mean, it definitely seems like there's more. I see more Modelo ads now than I used to, and
for
I'm
sure.
and I start to see. Because I do like Modelo a lot.
Yeah, I do as
I've
well.
I've started
it's
to
delicious.
See it pop up on draft in certain places. I'm
yeah.
like, ooh, Modelo's on draft.
Yeah.
And I think they just launched a new light beer.
Mm.
And I want to say it's like, I think I saw the ad for the first time last night. And it's called Modelo Oro. Modelo
okay.
Gold.
Gold, yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be fewer calories
okay,
but and carbs than a Coors. So I'm going to give it a try.
But how does it compare to Mick Ultra? That's what we need to
we'll
know.
We'll have to do another light beer taste testing
yeah.
like we did before.
Oh, yeah. yeah remember that when we
yeah.
did that? You were here when
I
we did that.
I almost got
office.
All of them right.
I didn't get any of them right.
I mixed up Natty and Bud.
And it's funny because, so for those that don't know, we did a whole beer flight tasting here to see if all of us could tell the difference between, I think it was Coors Light,
Keystone,
Bud Light,
right?
Keystone.
Uh-huh.
There were like six beers, right?
It was
there?
Yeah. Well, Wendy also threw in... she threw in a craft light beer.
Okay, that's right.
And I remember
right.
that was one, I think it was five, and that was
okay.
one we all were like, well, this is the craft.
Yeah,
know, it was obviously not a large distributor
yeah.
light beer.
Yeah, I came in hot. I'm like, I love Coors Light, as you do. I mean,
uh-huh.
Coors Light is a great light sort of
I'm
beach.
I'm a silver bullet kind
yeah,
of guy.
Absolutely. We agree on that, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll totally know. And I was like, totally didn't even get it.
I got the Coors and the Keystone, and I knew that one was Bud and one was Natty.
Yeah.
But I think I flip-flopped
you flip,
them.
You transposed.
But
okay.
I'm not a big fan of Anheuser-Busch
yeah.
beers.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Just for the taste of it.
I don't blame you. All right. I think there's a weird random little trip down
yeah.
Vintage Advertising Lane, which I love. I love. We should do more of these. This is actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
So because I hadn't thought about the E-Trade babies in a while. So,
man, that was such
fun.
A great campaign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Didn't they brought that back not that long ago? I
think
feel
they,
like for a
they
Super
have
Bowl,
done
for
like
one
a couple
shot.
One-off things,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I think it might be Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
But
all right, well, that'll do it for today. I think Where can everybody find us, Kyler?
You can find us online at mocktheagency.com and on the socials at mocktheagency.
All right, well said. All right, we'll chat with you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Mock the podcast.